Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak, Bertrand, Hardy, and Verbeetle, what?
This is funky.
Funky rejoin.
Is this one of those ones that goes up Felger's Keister?
Probably. This is Greta Van Fleet. This is a new band that sounds a lot like Led Zeppelin.
You added this one, didn't you?
Band out of Frankenmuth, Michigan.
Sounds like a Michigan guy. Huh?
Christmas every day in Frankenmuth. Christmas village there. 617-779-0985. Taking your calls right now on Malcolm Butler and on Tom Brady walking off after he didn't like the question about Alex Guerrero and Julian Edelman. And, of course, about Dolphins. I guess that is the Dolphin in front and the hybrid behind. If you've seen the photo, the Dolphin-Whale hybrid is the one behind the Dolphin in the photo. So,
where is this photo? Does this photo exist? Did you tweet it out? Did we tweet it out? Is it a show?
It's everywhere.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
It's in your show.
People are listening. They're like, we're searching for the picture.
Well, why don't you tweet it out?
I'll retweet it out from our show.
And we'll talk to Kyle, who is a diver, and he can tell us all about Dolphins. Go ahead, Kyle.
What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I was I'm a reservist now, but I was a Navy diver for 6 years.
Were you a master diver?
No, just first class diver.
Okay, I don't know anything about it. I just saw that movie. Okay, go ahead.
But so dolphins, if you get like a bull dolphin that hasn't had the touch of a female in a while, they kind of turn into the rapist of the sea.
You don't know what goes on below the surface of that water, man.
There have been stories about people who get very emotionally attached to dolphins, either trainers or just people who swim with them, and end up having, you know, physical contact with dolphins. You know, they're very intelligent mammals, though.
Yeah.
And they do crave affection and attention. Things can get out of hand to someone.
Things get crazy, too. Like, you think, okay.
Or in hand.
These dogs, like, you have a dog and you're separated from the breeder.
Yeah.
And you take them back and the dogs meet and they know each other and they play and all that.
Yeah.
So my wife took our dog back to the breeder to meet his brother and see his brother and dad. And they both tried to hump him. He went crazy. Like, our dog got angry and he started growling. He never gets defensive like that. But you would thought, boy, it's going to be great. They're going to play. Dogs tried to hump him.
Let's pick a different word.
It's my dog's brother.
Who was?
And father.
Like, and they were doing that to who?
Bentley.
To your dog.
Yes. Yeah, we thought, he just thought it was going to be a nice play reunion. And things got a little weird. And he didn't like it. Yep, good for him.
How far south did you have to go back to this breeder? I mean, is this below the Mason-Dixon line?
No, down in Bristol, Rhode Island. Really nice place.
You wouldn't think.
Yep. Shocked by it.
Tom agrees with you on this. Go ahead, Tom. Sure. You're on with Zolak and Bertrand.
What do you got, Tom?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Zo, I'm with you 100%. Purebred dogs are the best. I heard you said you have an English Golden. I got an American Yellow Lab. They're awesome.
Nice. Beautiful dog.
But, you know, the thing is, there is one breed that I'd be interested in seeing, and that would be if a Great Dane was crossed with a Chihuahua. Now, that would be something to see. I've never seen. I'll hang up and let you guys comment on that.
That's a good topic. Like, if you had to pick two breeds of a dog that you would like to see crossbreed.
Like, actually watch the process? I don't want to see any of them.
Not watch it. I'm just saying, like, German Shepherd and a Bulldog. That would be one of the ugliest dogs you could have. Or a Poodle. But like a Poodle and a Bulldog.
Well, the standard Poodles are being crossbred with everything now. That's where you're getting all your Golden Doodles, your Labradoodles, your Sheepadoodles.
And that's one of the hypoallergenic dogs is the Labradoodle.
Yeah.
That's a weird-looking dog, okay?
Nice
long legs. It's like a Poodle. It's like a Poodle on stilts.
Well, it's like cross between like
I know Labradoodle people love their dog, and it's good for you, but it's not my cup of tea.
Not doing it. All right, and then Christian disagrees. Hopefully this will end it. Go ahead, Christian.
Oh, my God. I've never wanted to smack somebody so bad after I heard what Zoe said about purebreds, and the idiot before me as well. Guys, a purebred literally means they mate with each other's family. They're all related, and what they do is, every once in a while, the more they do it, they get little deformities. What do they do with dogs with deformities? They kill them off. You know what's healthy? When they all mix together. Yeah, aesthetically speaking, they might not look as nice, but hey, they're freaking healthy.
Their immune system's better, right?
Yeah, well,
you ever notice like the people with these really expensive purebreds, you have to take out animal insurance because you do develop health.
You get all the hip dysplasia and all these genetic.
Bulldogs. My bulldog blew out his knee.
Right.
Hip. Everything.
Health-wise. So the purebreds have a lot of health issues.
Yeah.
I'm sure people will say, you got to find the right breeder. But
she had a good time with your mutt.
Mine was feral. And he didn't want to be inside.
He didn't want to be anywhere.
And he didn't want to be around people.
Your dog attacked everybody.
Not everybody.
The mailman,
just
kids.
Just my
shoot for a door.
The mailman.
You guys know where Meadow Beach is, by the way?
Pardon me?
They have a shark update.
Let's go.
Meadow Beach on the Cape closed because of a shark sighting. Great Meadow white Beach. Shark swimming near swimmers.
Silver knows. He's a Cape guy.
Is that in Brewster? No, I actually don't know.
It's got Meadow Beach. Is that inner or outer
Cape? Pretty far out, almost near P-Town.
So you're up there past Wellfleet. Yeah. Past Wellfleet there. All right.
Oceanside.
Truro.
Oceanside. You're not going to get any sharks in the bay. Well, you will, but not that often.
Yeah, the one they caught in Scituate? You mean that one inside the bay by Boston?
That's ocean there in Scituate.
That's way up there. That's practically Provincetown. Yeah.
Yeah. Still, they're there. They're everywhere there.
Yep. Yeah, they're everywhere.
So just so you can be on record.
There's one in Buzzards Bay a week ago.
Just so you can be on record, once again, your prediction for this summer is?
Attack's going to happen this summer. It's summer of the shark. Not necessarily death, and I would never wish death on a swimmer.
You're going to get a
dumb renter within the next 3 to 4 weeks that, gonna think that they're invincible, and if I'm paying for my vacation, I'm taking my inner tube and my cooler, and I'm gonna go to the beach, and I'm gonna sit there, and I'm gonna float, and I'm gonna splash, and wear shiny jewelry, and shark's gonna come say hi.
And where will this take place?
Somewhere on a Cape.
Okay. So Zoe's prediction once again,
the swimmer and the kayaker.
Okay.
The stupid ones from a year ago that went. Let's go kayaking in Chatham, area where the sills are, on that sandbar. Gee, what's there? A great white.
I want to lay it out on August.
No, we've done this. We've done this for the last 3 weeks.
I know, but you're
the shark.
Being very specific now. So, no later than August 30th.
Correct.
Thursday
prior to Labor Day.
Final preseason game.
Because
once we're in the regular season, we ain't talking about sharks.
A non-resident of Cape Cod.
This is part of preseason football. We discuss sharks.
Someone renting a home on Cape Cod.
Oh, it'd be great if it's Nantucket.
Will be.
Oh, Felger.
Well, that's different. Now you're including the islands.
Felger crap his pants.
Between Cape Cod and the islands, a renter will be attacked by a shark.
Yes.
Bitten.
Yep.
Okay. That's your prediction.
Not necessarily, like, it's tugged on. A bite's a bite. I'm not saying separation of limbs or anything. Just a little. Somebody's going to get their foot clamped on or arm clamped on.
Okay. Foot or arm.
It's probably going to be me.
The foot or arm of a renter on Cape Cod or the islands before August 30th.
Yeah, cocky renter. Probably a North Shore kid. Yeah, probably somebody from Malden, Medford.
We're ahead of you.
Stupid tourist.
I say Bill Rickian.
Yeah.
Bill Rickian.
While you're ahead, because if it's somebody from New Jersey who's out here for a week, you can't say, called it.
Yeah, it's eight kids from Lowell. Let's all go together and rent a Cape house.
No,
tear it up now.
Back
there.
Off on the cocky kid from the North Shore thing. Just go with renter, Cape Cod or the islands, before August 30th, attacked by a shark.
Boom.
Okay.
Done.
Summer of Jaws.
That was so like Sarge-like.
No,
Jim, was that Sarge like or what?
No, the Sarge comment would have been, ouch. Yep. That's going to hurt.
Yep. He's an ad libber, that
double
Sarge.
Double salute that one.
John and Stoughton.
Tomorrow.
John and Stoughton, you're on Zolak and Bertrand.
What's up, John?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about different hybrid animals out there. It turns out that, dolphins and whales aren't the only ones that are weird ones getting together. It's also
You know what? Called a,
didn't they just pull the giant panda off the endangered species list?
I
thought
no
I read
idea.
That somewhere last week.
I
the panda's not extinct. It's like not endangered anymore. Like,
is it
all of a sudden these suckers are reproducing left and right
with other animals?
No.
With other non-pandas?
Strictly the giant panda.
Made a comeback, yeah.
Giant pandas made the comeback, like the eagle has.
Well, this
right?
is let's keep this to crossbreeding only, please. John, what was your example?
Well, there's something called the Kama, which is a camel and a llama. Then there is the beefalo.
Does it spit? I called it a llamel, but I guess I was wrong. Go ahead.
There's also the beefalo, a buffalo, and a cow.
I've
and
heard
then
of this.
If you want to go with
I'd
the
steak.
With SeaWorld stuff, there's our narluga, which is
heard this.
Narwhal,
I heard of this one.
A narwhal and a beluga, and right. A narwhal is strange because a narwhal is a whale with a big, gigantic tooth growing out of its forehead.
Thank you, Mr. Norwell. That's from Buddy the Elf.
That's
movie.
Right. And
hey, buddy, hope you find your dad.
You know, the liger referenced by Napoleon Dynamite is a real animal.
Liger.
Bred for its skills and magic. The liger.
Oh, the liger.
The lion and the tiger. That's a real
two
thing.
Two Napoleon references in one day, Hardy. You grabbed Tom Morgan's wrist and slapped
right. it. But that was off air.
That was. We'll I just wanted to make sure everyone knew.
The liger is real, though.
Only in Napoleon's head.
All right, one more before we go. Do you want Lee and Quincy talking about dolphins?
Yeah,
or Derek talking about sharks in Newport?
We'll come back to sharks in Newport after the break. But let's go to Lee and Quincy right now.
Go ahead, Lee.
What's up, Lee?
Hey guys, how are you?
Hi.
So to your point, Hardy, like dolphins can be kind of amorous. They can be a little aggressive when
sure.
they're amorous.
Yes.
I was on like one of those swim with the dolphin things years ago with a group of people, and this one dolphin was like so enamored with me, it wouldn't leave me alone to the point where they had to like remove me from the water and they had to like get the thing cordoned off because it kept trying to like pull me down and like take me underwater with it.
What was the dolphin's name? Beetle?
good call, Lee. I've heard of this before, dolphins too. They get too friendly to the point where people freak out and they sense you're freaking out and they think you're trying to interact with the dolphin. And also, There was a video that went viral last week of all these dolphins riding the waves, and there was this paddleboarder, and this dolphin came out and knocked the paddleboard. Do you remember it?
I
watched it like 20 times in a row, and I could not stop laughing. And like this paddleboarder is just freaking out. A dolphin took off right through the wave, knocked this paddleboarder off. It's like when the kangaroos are running nuts out in Australia, and here comes the guy on the bike and just takes him out.
How much do you think a dolphin weighs? Just getting
that
smacked head on by a dolphin.
Well, it feels like
all that flesh.
Yeah.
Girth.
It feels like a truck covered in sandpaper.
It's just one muscle.
But they're actually very smooth because we did the dolphin experience a couple of summers ago and it was fantastic. But you touch them and they weren't rough you're told a shark is. It was very smooth. But talk about girth. You know what they say? It's not the length of the dolphin or its motion in the ocean, it's the girth. You know what I'm saying?
It's all one muscle. The dolphin is one big muscle.
More on this or not as we continue Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'll just say preparation is the best way to win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe, you know, they didn't see 100% mentally or physically, Malcolm Butler that they usually see.
But to confirm, you felt you were healthy enough
to play
the whole game.
Most definitely. Yeah. 100%. I was healthy. Yes, sir.
Malcolm Butler on E60 on ESPN asked about why he was held out of the Super Bowl. He said, well, it's about preparation. And maybe they felt like mentally I wasn't there or physically I wasn't there. Physically, how were you? 100%. I was ready to go.
He jumped on that one. Yeah. So he put that to bed. But he threw the physical part in there because he said all along that, you know, maybe I wasn't 100% checked, you know, locked in. So if that was the case, so there's the mental aspect of it. Why did he say physically? Did he catch himself there? And I think the reporter said, well, let me make this clear. Were you healthy? Were you? Oh, God, yes, sir. Absolutely, 100%. And could it be just this, that Say he did get dinged. We had a call earlier that said, you know, I heard he got in a car wreck or there was a concussion or something. Say he physically wasn't right at the beginning of that work week. And then you throw in, well, I'm sick. I can't make the trip. And you start to piss him off. And then you show up 2 days later. You didn't go down there with the team. And then you had a bad day of practice. So, okay, he was either dinged. He's mentally not locked in. You know what? Did we, not meaning we, but did they overestimate, did they underestimate the opponent? Did they go into that game thinking, okay, I'm going to sit him. I'm going to be good with the decision of sitting him because, hey, he's not part of what we were ready to do at the beginning of this week. And plus, it's the Eagles and their backup quarterback. Remember there was the report that they, that Belichick said that they never played from out in front. They never played from behind. So that's an advantage we can't have in this game. If we get up on them and get up big on them and force them out of the rhythm of their offense. The big thing with that offense and Doug Peterson was when they controlled the ball and they did what they wanted to do, that everything was fine. They played from out in front that way. They got into trouble when they had to fight and come back from behind in games, which wasn't a lot. And maybe you gambled and rolled the dice a little bit right there, but still, wouldn't you play them in the second half? If things, if your plan didn't hold up, and holy crap, we get in there at halftime, and it's a 25-minute halftime. It's not the normal 12-minute. We got extra time to talk this out. You know, let's get Malcolm up and running. Let's give him a series and see if he can respond.
Right.
And if he can, then maybe we feed him a little more in that second half. That's just the head scratcher there, that as bad as it was and continued to go in that second half, they never went to
him. Right. And I think that sums it up beautifully. So the fact that your game plan is to, you know, let's force him to play from behind, even if it's just a score or two, let's jump out. Eagles got the first score of the game. Okay, it's 3-0, and then you tied it. But all of a sudden, it's 9-3. It's 15-3. It's 50. You never held the lead. That was it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how the game went.
You got out coach. You got out playing that game.
Take that back. Fourth quarter, you went up 33-32.
Correct.
And
we thought that was ball game, but you couldn't stop them.
No.
Remember, you had them at midfield. You had them from midfield, and I thought that was the ball game. That fourth down. And he ran that little return route, that little out to that left side on that drag. And, like, that's the quintessential spot where Butler may get beat across the formation.
Right.
But we saw this in Pittsburgh how many times? Or against other teams. We even saw it against Jacksonville. He gets beat across the formation. And the quarterback makes a throw. Bortles made it the prior week in the AFC Championship. Roethlisberger made it down in the red zone inside the five. But he makes a tackle. He'll let you catch it, but boom, you're down.
So
the next thing you know, you're getting up, and that's it, turnover.
In a game where it's imperative to hold them and to get on the board first and then make them play from behind, you, in fact, end up playing from behind for the entire game except for the fourth quarter where you get up by one and the Eagles turn around and do a 10-play, 7-minute drive to retake the lead, and that was the game.
I mean, this could be so much just between Bill and Butler. And, I mean, we got to the point here where, okay, we're almost into August. At some point, we're not going to talk about this. And I don't know when that is, whether it's a regular season game, you know, when they get up and running and it's officially, you know, the next year and out of the preseason. You're going to have to play against Butler. You have to play against Butler in their house down in Tennessee. Isn't that going to say a lot, that game, who they throw at and who they don't throw at? Say they go away. I mean, I look at it. Logan Ryan's a pretty damn good corner. Solid. Smart. So from an instinct part of the game, if I'm Brady and I'm looking at that, Logan knows a lot of what we do, as does Malcolm, but I think Malcolm will take some chances, and I think they'll be able to mess with Malcolm a little bit. You know, plus if you get the bigger receiver on him, you put it up high. Malcolm struggles with the high ball. Wouldn't that be something if they look at that and approach that game offensively, that Logan Ryan is the stronger corner than Malcolm Butler? Just by knowing the players, that's a big advantage for the Patriots in that game. It's also an advantage for them because they know where Brady likes to go.
So let's listen to the other things that Butler had to say during this E60 piece. So we already heard him talking about the prep, about maybe the team felt he wasn't ready mentally or physically, although he said, I was 100% physically ready to go.
Oh, he jumped on that. No, I'm 100%. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Ready to go.
Well, it's still very emotional for you. So you may have been ready, but, you know, during the anthem, Malcolm, what was that all about?
I know that moment that still comes up on video with you crying during the national anthem, you know, while that came on. What was going through your mind?
Just a great moment and a kind of awkward moment. And, you know, probably going to be like my last game, stuff like that. You know, just thinking about how blessed I was. But it was a tough time. It was a learning time. And it's good now. I'm moved forward. I moved on. So, you know, I really, you know, I'm trying to deflect your questions.
I see it. Yeah, you're giving me DB. The lockdown DB treatment.
He's being honest there. So he's like, I want to answer
which
question,
part?
But I'm trying to feed you something. He says he's right there at the end. He's like, I'm trying to give you the runaround here in this question. Like, you're asking me this question, I can't answer. But that was not a great moment for Malcolm Butler. Go back to what I told you at the beginning of our show. A great moment for Malcolm Butler was Super Bowl 49. Plant your back foot and go. Don't do what you did in practice where you go around him. You know, when Russ Wilson throws that slant route, it's coming. You read receiver over the top. Halo. They like to call that play Halo. You know, it's a great call if it works. That was a great moment for Malcolm Butler. That made you. That you are a household name. You won a Super Bowl with that play. That right there, he called a learning moment.
Well, he called it a lot of things.
When you're a learning moment, you're scolded for something.
He essentially asked him, why are you crying during the anthem? And he, in one answer, called it great, awkward, blessed, learning. Am I missing anything?
Sounds like he was putting time.
Great moment, awkward moment. I was just so blessed, but it was a learning. What?
He's trying to give you an answer. And even said at the end of the question, I'm trying to give you something.
This is not his spot. This is not what Malcolm Butler is good at.
It wasn't a great moment for me. I lost it. Emotionally, I lost it.
Why was it awkward?
Probably just got told I wasn't going to play a snap. But you're going to play. Just be ready to go special teams. Don't be ready to go on defense.
There's one more about the bad blood between him and Belichick. We'll listen to that and then get Sean Silver's update here. But as to whether or not things are okay between him and his former coach.
I got a call from Bill Belichick. You know, he told me, congratulations, you put a good team, good organization. I know those people, and thank you for everything you've done. You know, I appreciate it. No bad blood between me and Bill Belichick.
Sounds familiar.
Got a call. Said he's going to a great organization. No bad blood between
good
me
team,
and Bill Belichick.
Good coach, good people. I know those people. It's Garoppolo.
It goes back to.
Does Bill do this with more players than he wants to talk about or admits?
Let me tell you something.
He does it with people he likes. It means he likes Malcolm. He likes Jimmy.
The more talking around, you know, people do about this or non-answers like Belichick gave to Shaughnessy last week and the non-answers Butler's given here, it leads me back to the one thing that Lee told us months and months ago. No. I thought it was poignant and to the point and easily digestible. Bill knows what happened. If you want to know what he did, Bill knows, and Butler knows. Malcolm Butler absolutely knows. He knows what happened.
And he also knows by this time, he understands Bill will not talk about it or refer to it. And I think Malcolm's okay with that because I know what happened, and I'm not going to talk about it, and that's between two people, and they're going to bury it.
And they might be the only two. If it's something embarrassing and it's something that neither one of them want to rehash, they may not have told another soul the real 100% reason why he didn't play. I'm starting to feel like we will never know.
This is giving me a headache.
All right, let's talk about something else then.
Is it that or the lights?
No, it's not. You'll be fine.
Oh, my God. More Malcolm Butler coming back, huh?
Yeah, we'll go back to Brady. Well, you know what? We did not give the Red Sox their due earlier.
Well, he did that Red Sox minute.
No, we're going to do it again. We're gonna give Sean Silver another opportunity to tell us everything.
See, there's another layer he wants to add.
Yeah, perhaps. Are you up to that, Sean?
Like an onion. I got all kinds of layers.
All right. But none of them stink. That's the difference between you and the onion.
Mm.
90 seconds here.
Turning into Sarge.
Less than 90 seconds. The update, and then we'll be back and talking Red Sox and Tom Brady with you.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox got a 3-0 win over the Twins yesterday. J.D. Martinez drove in three. Nathan Eovaldi, 7 shutout innings. They take 3 out of 4 in the series. Boston now with 74 wins. That is 7 more than the next closest team, the Astros. They're 5.5 games up in the AL East on the Yankees. And they will start a 2-game interleague series with the Phillies tonight over Fenway. David Price on the mound. He's 11-6 with a 4.17 ERA. Opposed by Aaron Nola, 12-3 with the 2.42 mark coming into this one. Patriots continue training camp tonight under the lights. It's their annual practice for season ticket holders. Patriots receiver Jordan Matthews reportedly expected to miss a few days of training camp after tweaking his hamstring. Meanwhile, the offense, defense continue to do their thing out there. Pat's corner Stephon Gilmore talks about his relationship with the Patriots offense.
Yeah, we're making each other better. We got a lot of talent on the offensive side, but we're pushing each other, and we're making plays, we're flying around, and it's fun to watch.
Taking a look around the league this afternoon, the Jets and number 3 overall pick QB Sam Darnold have reportedly agreed to terms in a 4-year, $30.25 million fully guaranteed contract. Another guy with a guaranteed contract just got waived. That would be Carmelo Anthony of the NBA's, Team X right now. He was with the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks sending him off down the line. He can sign with the Houston Rockets, as has been rumored, in 48 hours. The Sports Up headlines brought to you by Drs. Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Brian Scalabrine at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Sean Silver, Boston Topher Sports, 98.5 The Sports Up. Your next update, 2 o'clock.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5 The Sports Up.
Why are you chirping Sean Silver during the time and temps today? And for no reason whatsoever. He's just over there making his announcement.
Big guy voice.
Hey. Oh, really?
He's got the name on the marquee. He can chirp me if he wants. I'm just here. Humble servant. Step in. Do my job. Leave. You get Sarge tomorrow. Game's back on. Sarge is here.
Kicking the nuts right there.
I look forward to...
Is this Let Me Call You Sweetheart?
Nice. Yeah. Sarge,
you know what?
Sarge talked about this at length
isn't it?
The last time we played this.
Sarge really up on the standards. I was surprised. Didn't know the depth and breadth of his musical knowledge.
Oh, this is the good old summertime. McCone's coming in for the afternoon show. More electricity in the building. Jesus. What a joke. I saw him down at camp last week. He looked like he was having fun down there at the camera. He had a big prompter in front of him. He's reading off it. Like, different guy, man. Like, hey, it's Timmy McCone here.
Well, he doesn't automatically get beaten down like he does here. He's got the camera.
Well, at least I know how to pronounce his name, unlike some of the other hosts here.
Well, that host isn't here today. Sean Silver, lots going on with the Red Sox over the weekend. Can you kind of sum it all up for us?
Yeah, sure. Well, they took 3 out of 4 in their series from the Minnesota Twins, dropped the first game, but they've now won 3 in a row, and a couple of them were pretty exciting. They had another walk-off.
How exciting were they?
Mookie Betts in the 10th inning with a walk-off home run. You got to love that, right?
Yeah, I love that game. And let me tell you something, that I'm just lucky in life in this one particular area. Turning on sporting events at the right time, whether it's a World Cup match, whether it's a hockey game, it's like, oh, I forgot so-and-so is in a playoff game tonight, and they'll be knotted at 0 for 2.5 periods, and I'll turn it on right when the go-ahead goal is scored. It happened to me on Friday night. I did not sit through 3 hours of 2-1 baseball. Instead, I turned it on when Kimbrel blew the save and watched from there on out and saw Mookie get the walk-off in the 10th. That's one thing I'm lucky at.
Did you think you had tuned in for a tragedy, though, potentially, when you saw Kimbrel blow the save?
Yes, but I saw everything that you needed to see in that game in those 20 minutes. Not
everything
3.5 hours. 20 minutes I gave it, and that's all you needed to watch.
Neatly condensed into a ball game. Now, Chris Sale pitched very well that night. He went 6 innings, continued a scoreless streak. Now, we're not at... You remember Oral Hershiser back in the day?
Yeah, that funicula, joys, everybody. Let's play that one.
I do remember.
59 consecutive scoreless innings. Now, Sale's at 23, but he is really dealing in the second half here. They opted to continue the rest, you know, not pitch him as much as Farrell did last year. So they pulled him out after 6. What happens? The bullpen coughs it up. That's probably going to continue to be a concern here. But after this weekend.
Turn of the strikeout, right? It's not even August yet.
Yeah, he had 10 Ks. I think that's like 5 or 6 straight starts with the double-digit strikeouts.
Fantastic.
He's rolling out there. But you know, one thing that concerns me, Mitch Moreland only played in one game over this series. There's your all-star first baseman. Steve Pierce can't play every day. Mitch.
Who went over there to first? Who spent some time over there at first?
Steve Pierce?
No, third, excuse me.
Oh, Blake Swihart.
Yes! How was that?
Had a couple of hits, defended the position well. You know what's weird, though, about Swihart?
What? Just tell me. What's weird about Blake Swihart?
Well, he's had like 120 some odd plate appearances.
Mm-hmm.
He's had 5 RBI all season.
How about that? That is so weird.
It's not a lot.
It's not a lot. It's like everyone keeps waiting for Swihart to, you know. I don't know what you're talking about with this team.
Well, I mean, they keep winning. 74 wins. It's just rolling. I mean, David Price tonight.
We didn't either, which is why we put this on you. And Sean, let me tell you something. Great job. Thanks. Nice. That's two Red Sox summaries.
I mean, JD Martinez is just rolling them.
Leading in home runs and RBIs.
Screw the home runs. Just the RBI. He gets the two bats in the second yesterday. Yeah. The guy keeps rolling.
I mean, who's your MVP for baseball? It's Mookie Betts. It's maybe Martinez. It's maybe Mike Trout.
I would say Mookie would be the league MVP and Martinez would be your team MVP. Or would you give it to Chris Sale?
Oh, so tough. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Mookie Betts. I'm just saying, from a team perspective, I would say JD Martinez.
He made the biggest difference to the team.
Would be your most valuable player for the team. Betts, I think, would be the league MVP.
So would he be the seventh player award if this were the Bruins?
Yeah, if it was the Boston Bruins.
You would give
as long as he's a rookie.
You would give Mookie Betts the league MVP, but not the team MVP.
Correct. Because you've had Betts, and you know how good and how dynamic we've expected Betts to be.
Okay.
We didn't expect this from Martinez. Nobody did.
No.
We all took a leak on his signing and the delay of it.
We all went 35 home runs. We went under 39. Everybody
you got a bat. Yeah. You have a bat in the middle of your lineup. Mookie Betts leads off. This guy's in the middle of your lineup. You have a bat. You have a legitimate playoff-type bat in your lineup.
He kind of makes a point.
He's got it's Ortiz numbers.
You got some other guys heating up, too, around him, which is nice. Eduardo Nunez not looking like a bum anymore so much.
Yeah, get that jelly knee fixed.
Yeah. But Moreland's knee, that's one, maybe one less bat in your lineup in the second half. Deadline's coming up. We'll see. Tomorrow at what, 4?
It's going to be a big day tomorrow. Very quickly, before we get to the takeaways, the shark spotted at Meadow Beach in Truro.
Oh.
Great white. I didn't know if we knew it was a great white before.
They don't close beaches for blues or makos. They close beaches for great whites.
That was a great white.
That means he's looking to eat. Big boy's coming in to eat.
Beach was closed for about an hour today. Oh. I figure that's enough time for him to get bored and, I guess, move on.
So you people in Truro, just don't worry. The beach is open again, so go ahead and get back in the water.
It's going to be one of the best Mondays we've ever had.
This is
bad
advice.
That beach will be open.
Why don't you go enjoy the water?
This is not a public service.
Go ahead, folks. Hey,
I just applied some suntan lotion.
Don't worry, the shark won't come back. They never do. That sucker's just doing. He's going down to the lighthouse in Providence Town. He's making a U-turn. He's coming right back.
Well, that is
get in the water, people.
That's been established that once a shark swims in a particular area of the water, they never return. It's like lightning. So that shark won't be back, and they reopen the beach.
You have two kids, and you like to go to the Cape, and you make decent money. You love spending your money for a vacation.
Very wealthy man.
You're down there, and you're renting a house in Truro, and they close the beach locally where your kids were going to be swimming. And they tell you an hour later, hey, don't worry. Beach is back open. Everything's fine. You can put your kids in the water?
No.
Yeah, thanks.
No way.
See, you're smart. Smart guy.
But you know what? There's a lot of people down there.
South of Boston.
There's a lot of people.
North?
Yeah. There's a lot of people down there, though. This is my privilege. This is my vacation. And I am going to enjoy it. You can't close the beach on me.
It's the ignorant townie.
Those beaches will be open.
Lanny's boys, I'm telling you, like eight of them renting a house.
No way.
Yep.
Today's takeaways will not include Zoe's prediction, which is by August 30th, a renter of a home on either Cape Cod or the islands.
From a town north of Boston.
Will be bitten by a shark by August 30th. And he has further stipulated it will be someone from the North Shore of Massachusetts.
Malden, Medford, and Billerica.
And the victim will be on the cocky side.
Lowell.
A cocky North Shore vacationer renting a home on Cape Cod or the islands, bitten by a shark by August 30th. That is Scott Zolak's.
What do they call that? Merrimack Valley up there?
Prediction.
Sure.
Yeah.
The other takeaways from the day will be next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes for the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's time for today's takeaways brought to you by Waken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life. Official weight loss program of the 74-win Boston Red Sox. I like those apps.
I like that. Two white sharks. They're off of Pimento Beach. There's two of them. So it wasn't a rogue.
Sure, clear out.
Wasn't engaging in territoriality. As a swimming as a, you know, they call a group of sharks, don't you?
A pod.
A coven.
Coven?
Coven of sharks.
Pods are really? Whales, right.
Do you know that it's not? It could be.
You know, I was telling a story about the big shark and the baby shark last week. The mothers never care about the baby shark. I was wrong on that. It's the whales. The whales have to swim in the pods and take care of their young. Once the sharks are out, mothers don't care about them. You're gone. It's just you go eat. Go eat and kill.
A group of sharks is called a gam, herd, frenzy, school, or shiver.
I'll go with a frenzy.
I like a frenzy.
Frenzy.
All right. Zoe, we had a couple of interesting callers today.
We did?
Yeah, you know what? Let's save those for a moment. Let's start with the back and forth of Tom Brady. His attitude last year compared to his attitude this year in terms of where he's at in his head, how he feels about the game, and his confidence going forward.
Football is a very humbling sport, and you know, you never have it quite figured out. And every year there's different things, challenges, plays, schemes, opponents, conditions, situations.
That's this year, all right? Daily thing. It's very humbling. Never really have it figured out. Last year?
Because I've got the answers to the test now. You can't surprise me on defense.
So excited.
You know, it's I've just seen it all. It's not that I'm, you know, some, you know, I've just been able to process 261 games.
I mean, okay, there he is at the completion of the season after winning a Super Bowl, and he's so excited. You can hear the intensity in his voice. I'm so excited you're here interviewing me, and it's just, I got it all.
Sounds like the
you never have it quite figured out.
Because I've got the answers to the test now.
Different things, challenges, plays, schemes, opponents.
You can't surprise me on defense.
Is he seeing something on film that he doesn't like this year?
I don't know. But that Brady from last year sounds like he just got to the party, had one bump, and he's got it all figured out. I've got it all figured out now. You understand? This is it. I can see the entire field. I've got all the answers to the test.
Right.
Because I've got the answers to the test now.
Right?
Sure does.
I need some water. Does anybody have anything?
You can't surprise me on defense.
Right.
So some of the stuff is coming out. He sat down with Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin, both buddies of mine on Sirius XM NFL Radio. And some experts, and Reese has it here, where Brady's talking about, you know, you have adults at a party and you're there with your friends. It's boring. It's not fun. He said, you know what we need to do? We need to get kids around all the time because kids make you have fun. Kids keep you young. You just want to grab a kid and throw it in the pool and have fun. It's yes. Throw them in the pool and have fun.
Okay.
You know, and just we need more kids around to have a better life and have more fun. Like this is depth stuff, man. Deep.
Well, like something tells me this one may not be over. A couple of calls today. One of them from a guy who was on hold for so long he had to get back to what he was doing before he placed the phone call. For us.
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to talk about the Brady Glove situation.
Yes.
I think that Brady just hates the glove. Didn't they write that article about him? About how he was scheming money through the...
Yes.
Best buddies for
yes.
to go to school.
I don't think Brady appreciated the globe piece on the best buddies thing at all. No.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure if maybe that had something to do with him getting pissed.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
What's going on there, Kyle?
You guys washing dishes?
I'm putting up a set of stairs.
Nice. That's so nice you call. You're putting stairs up.
Yeah, you can take 30 seconds
off. How many risers you having?
What's that?
How many risers on that staircase?
It's just the shaft right now.
Nice. Now, how do you get up and so. How do you get up and down?
You know you want to say it.
Well, we use a lift or we float.
Oh, so I mean, yep. You got to be careful. So why don't you get back to doing that?
All right, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Nice calling, blue collar guy right there. Like that, hardworking man.
Definitely some kind of metal railing going on, or maybe metal stairs. A bong bong hitting that thing with a low impact.
Sort of like.
Yeah, like one of those. Good. Yep. Oh, I didn't know we had one of those in the new studio. Another call today, Zoe, when we were talking about the whale-dolphin hybrid.
Oh, God.
Somebody came in with like a whole slew of animal hybrids that he told us about. John and Stoughton. John and Stoughton, you're on Zolak and Bertrand.
What's up, John?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about different hybrid animals out there. It turns out that, you know, dolphins and whales aren't the only ones that are weird ones getting together. It's also
Didn't they just pull the giant panda off the endangered species list? I thought I read that somewhere last week.
I don't know.
Not extinct. It's like not endangered anymore. Like,
is it
all of a sudden these suckers are reproducing left and right
with other animals?
No,
with other non pandas.
Strictly the giant panda.
Made the comeback. Yeah.
Giant pandas made the comeback, like the eagle has.
Well, this
right?
is let's keep this to crossbreeding only, please, John. What was your example?
Well, there's something called the Kama, which is a camel and a llama. Then there is the beefalo.
Does it spit? I called it a llama, but I guess I was wrong. Go ahead.
There's also the beefalo, a buffalo, and a cow.
I've heard of this.
If you want to go with the SeaWorld stuff, there's our narluga, which is...
I heard of this one.
A narwhal and a beluga, and right. A narwhal is strange because a narwhal is a whale with a big, gigantic tooth growing out of its forehead.
Thank you, Mr. Norwell. That's from Buddy the Elf.
What's your favorite color?
It's a good show.
Hope you find your dad,
Multiple
buddy.
Tweets with the liger from King Richard's Fair were sent to me during that segment, too. And a big cat.
Who did he draw that for? He was just drawing that. He wasn't for his girlfriend.
He's just drawing it for himself. It's pretty much his favorite animal.
I thought he gave it to Trish, the girl he took to the dance.
It's Trisha.
He drew a picture of Trish.
Yes,
for Trish.
It took it like 45 minutes to get the shading done in her upper lip.